Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Good evening, my light family, and very nice to be with you tonight. I have pulled such a dirty trick tonight. I'm extremely proud of myself. At a quarter till of the hour before the show started, I contacted Rogier next door and said, hey, how about if you join us on the show tonight and ask us some questions? And he said, but I don't have any questions. And I said, see you then. And here he is on the phone tonight. So he's going to come. Did you manage to get a few, Rogier?
Well, I did. One did sort of come to mind, which I was actually asked on the Applied Mysticism on the I Am network. So
oh,
I figured
so we've
just
got
start with that one. Yeah,
would you mind if I just do a few announcements real quickly, and then we'll start right in with that, so we'll give you another moment here to gather some questions in your mind. So my brothers and sisters, we have, there's a couple of short announcements so we can just get that out of the way. And one is that we have soundelixirs.com. And soundelixirs.com has recently gotten a sister, is the sister site to what we had before, which is angelsoundhealing.com. So on angelsoundhealing.com, we've got our 18 sound elixirs, and when you buy the 18 sound elixirs, you also get the, it's actually Rosicrucian, the ancient Rosicrucian sound healing system is you download for free when you buy your 18 elixirs. And I do want to tell you, if you go to angelsoundhealing.com and you get this package, this 18 sound elixirs, which is $18, and then you get your healing, your sound healing method, we have had tremendous success with it. And our beloved sister Jan, who is the dean of the Academy for Belvas Patah, at the last Ohio Universal Light Expo, did the sound healing with the sound elixirs and had incredible experiences with the people that came to her to have this service done. We've really very highly satisfied. We've had people from all over the world write to us to say that the sound healing, which you can do once you have your sound elixirs, it has been a wonderful addition to their already existing healing practices, or some of them have never healed before, but they became sound healers by using this Rosicrucian method, which is one of the most potent that are out there, that is out there. So those you will find on angelsoundhealing.com. On soundelixirs.com, you will find everything about the personal sound elixirs that we create. I have today created 11 sound elixirs for people. It sounds like angels when I hear the music, and to the best of my ability, I interpret it as much as I can close to that sound. But we have got the miracles that have happened with it and the testimonials about it. They started to become so many that Rogier decided that he was going to produce a separate soundelixir.com site just for the personal sound elixirs. Now, there's something new that you're going to be hearing. I hope you like it at about 1:30 of the hour tonight. And that is that we have created, and we being my sound producer, who I'm sure you all know because he's our editor on the, and our Twitter master, if you will, that does Almeen Wisdom Twitter, and we currently have about 7,600 people joining us each day as we write down wisdom and miracles and so on that site. And also we give you interdimensional photography. He's the guy behind the scenes. And Paul Downs has written and composed the lyrics and the music to a most beautiful song, because my intent was that a song being created that honors the light workers of the world. My brothers and sisters, we have recently come out of the matrix. Literally, something like the cosmos as a defined space in which individuation takes place no longer exists. And so, the tribute is on the light workers, because it's upon their shoulder that this whole scenario pivoted. And so I wanted to produce a song that was a tribute, and it's called Luminous and Beautiful. And Paul did a masterful job on composing it, and his arrangement of the music that I sing for you is, it's pulses. If you listen to the music, it's pulses and it shimmers. The whole way through, there's this shimmering and pulsation of sound. And we will play that for you, as I said, 5:30. But that also is available on angelsoundhealing.com. So the other thing, and I'm so glad we've got Rogier here on the phone tonight, because now I can ask him directly. And also, I know every time I do the announcements for the shows, everybody holds their breath, because I usually say one thing wrong or another, you know, because I don't really look at my own websites because I'm not computer literate. So everybody goes, oh, please, Almin, do this right, every time I do my announcements. And guess what? I've got him here, just like Jiminy Cricket. He can correct me when I go off the beaten path. So the second thing that I wanted to tell you, my brothers and sisters, as I've mentioned on previous shows, right now our alchemy course is underway. I'm pretty sure you can't sign up for that anymore. But on the 1st of November, the Institute of Human Potential opens its doors for the first time, ushering in a 3-month course. And the 3-month course deals with the history that has been forgotten of humankind, the earth, and humans' relationship vis-a-vis the cosmos. It gives you the secrets of 130 secret libraries. It gives you the secret of human interaction with star beings. And it gives you the secrets of how humanity has been tampered with. The overall design for this is, in actual fact, to prepare you for a most phenomenal gift that is given at the end of it. It is the self Belvas Patah. It's not to be purchased anywhere else, to heal all diseases. And it also is designed to set free the innate guilt of man who thinks that he has committed such atrocities as the Holocaust and does not realize where those influences really came from and a lot of the cover-up that has happened. So it is to set one free from the guilt of being human and to take you beyond humanity. It also deals with how to become the sacred government through self-government. And so this is coming up for you to sign up for. And those of you that missed the science of immortality and incorruptibility, our first 3-month class right now is just ending it. It's ending in a most glorious way. It ends with the self Belvas Patah, for which they've rightly earned the right to practice by preparing for 3 months of incorruptibility. And that also reruns, if you missed it, on the 1st of November. So the 1st of November, the Institute of Human Potential and the Institute of Applied Mysticism opens their doors. And appliedmysticism.com and instituthumanpotential.com are the two websites. Now, what I want to tell you about this is, as you know, we've been speaking a lot about it because we're all very excited about it. We got an incredible price for the Mexican cruise the last week of January. The last week of January, the Institute of Human Potential ends. And in that week, we give you, the rest of the story, right? We give you the conclusion, the cherry on top of the cake of the secrets of mankind. And on Institute of Human Potential, you can see the Mexico Cruise curriculum page. But what is there that is of interest is that Ruhir, who also produces our videos, beyond the fact that he also produces our beautiful graphics and art that you see on all our websites and so on, he has uploaded videos. Now, Ruhir, Anunnaki, the Anunnaki and the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil, this is already up. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the first segment of the session that we did, and the second one about the Tree of Life is also already there.
The Anunnaki and the Tree of Life is the second one, and then there's two more that will follow. Is that correct?
Yeah, the third one.
Anunnaki. I've got them written here. If you don't remember them, if you remember them, please go ahead.
No, I remember them because they're like really amongst the sort of the instant classic videos. The third one is about the Anunnaki and the larger cosmic experiment of man, because the assumption is generally that it kind of sort of started with them. But here in this video, you explain how this was just a chapter or a footnote, maybe even in the vaster cosmic experiment of man. And then the fourth video is about just the Anunnaki and the, you know, the five books of the Bible and Moses and the Chaldees and all that fun stuff.
And can you tell us about any of these videos, any little tidbits that, because these are for free for them, is that correct, if they just go to that site?
Yeah, these are just YouTube, or actually no, they're not, they're also YouTube, but yeah, these are just videos that we've posted publicly.
Okay. And so which ones of these are the ones that are then still need to be put up, the last two, is that correct?
Yeah, last two. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I don't know.
You know if anything else, I think I did my share of good announcements. What do you think?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Good.
I did have a question about, I feel it kind of slipping now, but yeah, I did want to add that you said that this cruise would be kind of the, you know, the icing on the cake, but of course not everyone in the Human Potential Institute is, likely not everyone is going to be able to make it to this cruise, so we had been thinking about possibly, you know, maybe that later on we can find something for that content as well, so that, you know, not everyone has to miss out.
Well, I'm not sure how we can do this. I know that James is planning on being on the cruise, and perhaps he can bring a recorder and bits and pieces of it can be released to the alumni lounge.
Right, because, yeah, I was thinking that at some point we do want to do more with audio and video streaming and having a more, besides the Institute, some more digital format for teaching. So this could maybe be the beginning of that.
Yes, it's good. Okay, well, pardon?
And actually also I had a question about this, because so how does the Human Potential Institute, the essence of it or its sort of function, how does it tie into the applied mysticism? Because it does seem like sort of subject matter seems to sort of bleed into each other.
Yes, they do. And in all honesty, as I've explained on some of the other shows, the three institutes fit together. They are each a three-month institute. And as there's a critical mass number of masters that are basically emerging out of each of these 3 months, it serves to build a staircase for humanity. Many of the masters that are in the institutes actually lose the linearity of thinking and linearity of time. So that when there are linear ceremonial mystical protocols given, they tend to think, why should I be doing this? Everything should be immediate. But what they don't understand is even though they may have exited the old two-dimensional screen, humanity has held onto bits and pieces of it as their prison bars have become their security blanket. And so it is in going through these as a proxy for humanity that you not only leave the cosmos in your debt and humanity in your debt so that you get enhanced consciousness as a side effect, but you lay a track down along which others can follow so they too can shed the illusions that we have worked our way through. Now, how these two fit along, other than that they all are each a corner, you know, the Academy of Alchemy is a corner and so forth. Each of them is a corner of a triangle which represents the spiral of change along which we walk. Other than that, first of all, in the applied mysticism, the study to how to become first immortal and then understanding that there's something beyond immortality that is more permanent, permanent yet changing, in that it's a fluid form and it's incorruptibility. And in understanding that, what part of the curriculum is to understand the shadow players that have sat on the rim of the cosmic wheel and have had major influence in creating falls, in creating individual falls for the major light workers. This is when you think you're on top of the world, bang, you fall basically through a hole in consciousness, which they used to do in very specific ways, which we described there. But in other words, it introduces them to the other players. It gives their agendas, agendas that comprise everything from the Twin Towers to the Aztec blood sacrifice to the Egyptian hoarding of gold and so on. All of these things fit together to create control of shadows and shadow beings on Earth. So it gives the agendas, it explains who they are, what they are, and what their agendas are, and how it has affected life. And then it explains how to set oneself free from it. So that is part of the applied mysticism course because, you know, if you're moving into incorruptibility, you have to become free from the ability to have other beings that aren't even real, that are shadow beings, engineer a personal fall for you. So this is part of the mastery that's gained. Then we go to the Institute of Human Potential, and there the very important part is that man has had a deep-seated self-punishing behavior, and it has been the root of disease because there is no need for us to suffer pain as the language of spirit, yet that is what it has been. Why have we suffered pain as the language of spirit? Because it is a reminder for us that, you know, we have shame and we have feelings of guilt over being part of humankind because of what we have seemingly committed in the form of genocides on Earth. And what is important is that man be set free from such illusion. The Institute of Human Potential is very much the opposite in a ways, but they hold hands in their function of bringing us to the place of total surrender. In the Institute of Human Potential, it is the gathering of the pieces into one. In the applied mysticism, the science of immortality, etc., it is the eliminating of the veils, getting rid of the mirrors. Then you see what's real, and you realize that there are holes, there are pieces that have been given away or taken, and those are the ones that are put back together in the Institute of Human Potential. They truly supplement each other beautifully.
Right. Now, you've said that the human potential is about transfiguration and the I am about transformation, right?
Yes.
Because initially I had been, until you said that a few days ago, actually on the conference call for the I Am. It had been my assumption that the I Am was actually the transfiguration and the human potential, the transformation. So, I mean, it makes more sense that it would be
I'm terribly sorry. I did say that way back because I assumed that. I assumed that mysticism, you dealt with it. I was mistaken. Because once the material started to reveal itself, see, I said this initially because that's what I assumed. I should never assume anything. But once the material started coming in from the God Kingdom, I could clearly see that I was wrong. Because the entire first month is spent shedding the 144 illusions. That, you can see, that's transformational. And
yeah, I can.
Transformation happens when our pieces of light are put back, you see.
And so in the light of what you've just said, we could say then that the sort of this guilt over being human is perhaps the sort of the final piece that sort of prevents the let me rephrase that, like when that's released, that's the sort of prerequisite for transfiguration.
Yes, it is seeing oneself as the larger picture, seeing oneself as all things. But as whole, primarily, this is the big one. That's the important part of it. That's why, finally, the Belvas Pata to heal all diseases. You prepare to receive that because there is no reason for unwholeness when you realize your innocence. Can I just say one thing? See, what threw me on some of the Institute of Applied Mysticism that I thought it was transfigurational. Because obviously, to transfigure into immortality and to transfigure into incorruptibility is a transfiguration. But what we have here is the equivalent of what folks will find when they go, and I believe they have it on BBS as well as on our website, that video that you did on everything one wants to know on ascension. What is it called, Rogier, and how long is it?
It's called Pathway to Ascension. It's 4 hours.
4 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, that's long. Okay, well, that is available as a video tutorial on our storefronts as well as on the web. Sorry?
It's available on both stores for download.
Both are stores, okay. So spiritualjourneys.com storefront as well as schoolofarcana.org. Is that right? And the store there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the point is that when you study the pathway to ascension, it gives you incredible detail, the journey that ascension takes. Ascension takes one through the three stages of man. The three stages of man are as a whole. Transformational, which is you shed all old belief systems. Transmutational, where you go into God consciousness. And in God consciousness, you go from surface mind to expanded mind. It's a leveraging mechanism. Everything you do becomes just thousands of times more potent. So it's lead is turned to gold. So it is essentially alchemical. Then you go to the transfigurational stage, which is the stages of immortality and ascended mastery. And each of these three big stages has three small phases in it. And I didn't have any idea, as I was just receiving this information, pouring through me, writing as quickly as I could, that this is exactly the format that our colleges have taken online. But in each of the big stages, there are three phases. And the three phases are a microcosmic picture of the bigger one. So, in other words, in ego identification, you are in the transformational stage in which you shed and shed and shed anything that is illusion. But within the three small phases, it's transformational, transmutational, transfigurational. So in any one of the big stages of change, you find three mini stages that also encompass all three. And that is why it's real easy to get mixed up. It's only after I saw the big picture and finished writing The Institute of Human Potential that I realized we were dealing with leaving humanity altogether and entering as a whole the God Kingdom. Ruhir, you know, it's 7:28, and of course, for people that are listening to this on Sunday night, it will be a little later. But what I would like to do is to get Seth, if he would please, to play for us the song that was created by Paul Downs and myself for you as a tribute to what the Lightworkers have accomplished. And it is available for $2.99. It's well over 6 minutes. And it's available on angelsoundhealing.com if you do wish to purchase it. But here it is for you. Hope you enjoy it. Welcome back, my brothers and sisters. We hope that you liked that song. It was a great joy to sing it for you, and that from the heart, my great respect and tribute to the light workers of the earth, those who have tried and tried and tried to overcome their own flaws, and in doing so have raised up this planet's consciousness. So, Ruhir, I'll leave some time for you. Just ask whichever questions you'd like.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to mention that Luminous and Beautiful is not at this time or not yet available through angelsoundhealing.com, but only on the schoolofarcana.org store. So you go to schoolofarcana.org and then to the store, and it's there now, and we don't actually have a page for it yet.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, but the one question I wanted to ask is because tomorrow in the Applied Mysticism course, it's essentially the last lesson, and then 2 days later there's the Belvaspita of incorruptibility, and then tomorrow is probably the biggest ceremonial event of all for sacred government. But it's just been my sense that even though we would say that the curriculum ends this week, it's still going to be open for at least, well, a few weeks, if not more. But if we're talking about transformation, I mean, it's my sense that there's still kind of something supposed to happen on this network, and it pertains to the theme of transformation. And I was just thinking, like, if we say about human potential and about transfiguration, that sort of releasing the guilt is the key, what would you say generically might be the keys that block transformation? Or is that...
Well, the keys that block transformation is the clinging to the old. Many people want their lives to change but are afraid of change themselves. And so they cling, creating personal matrices for themselves and don't stay in touch with the cosmic changes. So, you know, in applied mysticism, the goal of the 3 months that folks will encounter if they want to sign up or if they have already signed up for the 1st of November is, number one, to get to see the old in a new light. Because what lets you release that white-knuckled grasp on the old things that no longer serve is to really see them in the naked truth of things, what they really are, and to see how flimsy it is, that which we've held to. Many people have gone deeply into the unknowable, if you will, during this three-month course, and of course have asked, you know, are we sure, you know, that we are going to be safe when we make this journey into these very deep mystical practices that you're given during the course, because this is very much the unknown to them. But the bottom line of it is we do all live in the unknown, the known that we think we live in are really the prison bars of our belief systems. And it's in holding on to those fearfully, you know, that change will be disruptive, rather than that the very nature of life is that which fluidly alters moment by moment, that would be the biggest impediment.
All right. Now, what would you say to this? Because how, like, with the information that is being given in these institutes, and we've just sort of started our second, the Alchemy Academy. Now, what would you say about this sort of mechanism that, for example, in the days of old, so to speak, the initiate or the aspiring, the spiritual seeker, or would, you know, travel halfway across the world and brave the elements and tigers and all sorts of dangers to sort of, to get to whatever shreds of spiritual knowledge could be found. And that was, like, you know, the life mission. And on the one hand, we can say, well, it's not, obviously not ideal to sort of have to sort of work through such circumstances. On the other hand, it does sort of convey
value, doesn't it?
Instills a lot of value. And then conversely, how this is something that James and I, you know, are primarily connected with these networks, your teachings or the information you access. It's a question we're trying to resolve for ourselves, especially as we go forward with these institutes, how you counter possible side effects of this sort of magnificent knowledge coming so easily, because when it does, it also in a way might convey certain things which aren't necessarily ideal, you know, like that maybe, you know what I mean? It's like when it comes difficult, easy to see the value, but when it comes
and we have a bit of a dilemma there, you know that, don't you? Because what we have is the fact that truth cannot, you know, it's like the new wine in the old wine bottles. You can't put new wine in old concepts. The old concept is that anything of value needs to be earned through struggle. So that's the old value system. It is very, very tempting to shroud things in mystery, to create effects around them in order to convey the value. But what it does is it then plays into and thereby strengthens the old belief system, which is the very thing that as light workers we are pivoting life away from, not just for ourselves, but first ourselves and then for others. And that is that we don't need to go halfway around the world in struggle through storms to get that which is our birthright, which is the all-knowingness of all of us as the one life. And so it is true that in presenting things that is beyond precious and it comes so easily that many may not get its value. But I would rather that out of 200 people or 150 people or whatever it is, 5 get its value. And we did it in the new way. And these 5 lay in a new understanding. They get how precious it is. And I can see from the responses on the forum that the students are getting it, how special this is and how beautiful it is. And we had a letter here this afternoon from a sister. I could grab it here in a minute. But she was saying, thank you for this most precious information and these sacred tools. And I could see in her words she really did get it. And I would rather a handful got it and people didn't see its value because it comes so easily over their computer in their study. They don't need to sit out in a storm to get it, than play into the old illusions.
Right. Well, that's very good to know, because it's been a bit of a paradox for us, because on the one hand you can say, well, we are in the new paradigm now, and just like there, it used to be growth through opposition, now it's growth through grace, and the same thing with this whole theme of struggle. It's not intertwined with the idea or meaning of value anymore. But at the same time, of course, you can say that while, you know, all that be as it may, if there are still belief systems or matrices instilled in the being that of the person that sort of are still, you know, of the persuasion that only value comes through struggle, then we can all be in a new paradigm. But if that's still in the system, then it's still going to, you know, create.
You know that last week's program, I spoke quite passionately about this issue, that the concept of family, if it's the old way that families are done, is obsolete. And what I was trying to convey ties in with what you've just said. We create a like family, for example. But family meant that you dump all your imperfections in the middle. Everybody dumps theirs in there as well. And the I'm okay, you're okay syndrome takes place. Whereas, listen, if we're all voicing our fears, we're fine. Because everybody else has it, right? So it's got to be fine. In other words, we give our lowest and dump that in families, which is why so many Christmases and things are very uncomfortable for people. Because people think, oh, because this is my family, I can show my worst. this is not the way I want to interact with my family. And I want to make it clear that if that's the way that people around me want to interact, then I will withdraw from it. Because the fact of the matter is that a family shows their mastership. They show their best. They do their inner overcomings, and then they bring it as inspiration to others. There's an old poem that I used to read a long time ago. I forgot who wrote it, but it says it's about the choice of company. And it says that I choose those who help to make of my life a temple and not a tavern, to inspire rather than pull me down. And these are our families, not the old dysfunctional way. And so on the one hand, I'm saying it should be accessible to all. On the other, that I'm speaking of knowledge. Everybody has a right to maintain their sacred space. And their sacred space is their life, which is a temple, not a rowdy tavern where everybody shows their worst. So it's two different things. I just wanted to make quite clear we were saying the same thing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's very good for me to know that you're sort of underscoring this idea about quality, that it's not necessarily the amount of people that may get these certain things, but if there's just, even if it's only a few, because, you know, we have been thinking, wondering how to deal with, at times, I mean, you know, with certain energies of entitlement, because it all comes so easy, and, you know, it's only $100 per month, so I guess it couldn't be, you know what I'm saying, it's the energy.
It's easy to overlook that it is priceless.
Mm-hmm. But now that you say that, we don't need to ensure that sort of everyone gets it. It just sort of has its own timing, I guess. It's good to know. So we don't need to worry about it anymore then.
Well, it's like we said, you know, the Institute of Human Potential has as its emblem. Now, I never told anyone this, so it isn't on our graphics, but I saw it appear to me as a chrysanthemum. And a chrysanthemum is not a daisy. The flower petals are not all open at once. It is the human potential is that there is an unfolding of the petals, and some are somewhat closed in the middle, and others around the edge define the parameter of this beautiful bloom of a flower. This is how the human potential is. And so, you know, it is fitting that everybody gets it at different levels. However, these courses are designed, as I said in the Saturday morning conference call, they are designed to close the gap. There is a gap between masters that have already entered their godhood, that are amongst the enrollees and students on those institutes, and others that are just coming in. And the tendency is for those who know that they're already all things and have already exited the human condition, and I see them very silent on these forums, and I understand because they're not into the clamor. But then the tail wags the dog, and so it is imperative that they stand forth and say, this is not the highest that we can offer. And let's create heaven on earth here in our forum if we want it to manifest physically.
All right, now, interestingly, I just see that I have a question from Lale that just came in, and she's on our networks as well. And she's asking you, I'll just read it. I have experienced a huge change in my eating patterns, especially since group ceremonies are up. I eat more frequently, and I've never acted this way before. The feeling of being polluted by others has also contributed to that, like what Almin has mentioned in a previous radio show. What can be the cause of this?
My sister, you're not the only one that has said this. My sister, Christina Trevino from Toronto, said that after our last pod together, she went home and she ate and she ate and she ate and she ate. And it's like she hadn't even eaten for 4 weeks. And she said she couldn't understand it. I have found myself wanting to eat more as well. And I haven't actually pinpointed it. So if you want to hold a second, I will see what it is that I can find, and I will have to ask the infinite because I don't know the answer.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting because now I realize that during the last time you were away for Pod, which is, I guess, what, 2 weeks ago, 1 week?
A few days
as well, I had that really pretty crazily, and I was even saying to Paul, I don't know what's going on, and now suddenly I realize that I don't have this sort of eating frenzy, but it was there for a while as well for me.
Well, let me find out what it is. Iserich nasai kieshva, usich ata enechva, nusba akneshve huras. Previously, the bodies of those filled with light did not have compatible food because of practices of harvesting the food without gratitude. Ishech masuchna kieh. There was a love-hate relationship with their bodies, with food. Peshatuch nasayeh, yachkanayishe, kayish asuchna maye. When finally the body was released, as was the soul, the form and the formlessness, the yeshia uyech navai ekyech, all boundaries ceased to be, as life became one. Payech anash esech ve ekye anachva. For the first time, food and you already were one, and there was no longer a feeling of the body repudiating. I hope that's the right word. It's what I'm hearing. Repudiating the food. It no longer pushed it away. It's embracing it as itself. It is a new feeling.
Wow, yeah, that's really fascinating because I've actually noticed for the past 2 days, and I was really, this really struck me today, that I have sort of purchased foods like, which for years I would not have eaten, you know, like, for example, like blue cheese or something like that. And today I was just thinking, no, I think you can, you're not going to sort of have some sort of reaction for that with that. And I didn't. And it was actually it was really fascinating to me. So now I hear this and it does make sense.
And food for a long time, especially in the last month, lightworkers have been complaining that food is not digesting and that there's this lump in their stomach. That should also be a great deal more better than we've ever had it.
Okay.
I've got a couple of minutes, so you better ask me a short one.
Well, there was another, let's see.
We've got about 4 minutes.
Now I've got these questions coming in. Well, there's one from Tina, but I'm not sure. I don't know her last name, so I'm not sure if you know who I'm referring to.
This is Tina of Phoenix, Arizona. It looks like IOBST.
Yeah, I think that's her. Anyway, she asks, I mean, I know actually that this may be, you know, a personal question that you don't answer on the air, but I don't think so. She says, what star beings am I associated with? Are they still here? And are they going to make a sound elixir? That's a question, or those are her questions. So maybe that's suitable for a few minutes.
Okay. So, Tina, I just today got your letter. And the language that you're writing in there is indeed a star language that is from the planet that is called the hidden planet in the Pleiades. And the Pleiades have already given us their music, and it was one that just knocked our socks off. And we are in the process. I'm just finishing up. I've got about 10 more personal elixirs to do tomorrow. And then I'm going to start in with Paul to produce the sound elixirs of the 12 star races that have come in. We had an incredible recording session in the last 2 days from Klunovik. Klunovik is the little sun that has this heartbeat at the center of the earth. And Paul Downs was just pointing out to me today that scientists have just discovered a type of heartbeat in the magma of the planet. The pulsing of Clonavik is 12 hours brighter and 12 hours dimmer, and it creates the days and the nights inside the hollow Earth. We have spoken about that in our book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms. Clonavik is called by the Hopi the smoky sun. It's the little smoky sun, as they call it. And as it pulses outwards, it's like an orchestrated interaction with the 12 known star systems, the Pleiades, Arcturus, Antares, Lyra, Alpha Centauri is one of them. There's two in Orion. There's two in the galaxy of Andromeda. There is Sirius. And then there is, let me just see, there's two other ones. Venus and its parent race. The race on Venus has a parent race in the planet that the Egyptians called Obelish, or is referred to in the gift of the unicorns in the history of the cycles as Melaganiga. That is another one that is there. And let me see, I think this one, Ursa Major. Those are the planetary systems that are giving us their music. And Clonavik in the Earth pulses them as this little sun grows bright. And as it dims, it pulses to the 12 planets around the Earth that are unseen by us because of how much, you know, the more how etheric they are. And you can read about them if you go to our website, the astrologyofisis.com. I think I've got that right, but you know what? We've got to run now because it's a couple of minutes before the hour, and I've promised BBS that I will always end a few minutes earlier before the hour ends. So my brothers and sisters, what a delight to have been with you. Andrew here, it has been such a joy to have you on here and see what happens. You never know. So have some questions ready. We'd love to have you back.
All right, will do.
Thank you for coming. Goodbye, everybody.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.